devastated, totally depressed, and emotionally drained. The event they witnessed that day left them in shock and dismay. They were accustomed to the displays of sheer brutality their Roman oppressors levied upon those who did not submit to their authority, those who broke the Roman laws, thieves and murderers were routinely put to death by means of a barbaric Roman invention of capital punishment known as crucifixion. But this event was different. These people just witnessed the crucifixion of neither a thief nor a murderer. They saw the crucifixion of a man that even the Roman Emperor Pontius Pilate told the man's accusers, "In him I find no fault at all." Yet, Pilate, in order to placate the demands of the accusers, consented to have this man crucified anyway. And then he washed his hands of the whole affair. An innocent man, not only put to death wrongfully, but sentenced to die in a most excruciating, horrendous, and torturous manner. Who was this innocent man? The Old Testament prophet Isaiah foretold of this man and his suffering 700 years before this man was born. So on this very solemn evening, please listen carefully as I read those words as written by the prophet Isaiah, beginning in chapter 52, starting in verse 13, and continuing through the end of chapter 53. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried out our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare this generation? for he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleasured the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the small with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And this ends the reading. So with these words of Isaiah, we soberly reflect upon these passages in particular. His visage was so marred more than any man. Here we picture the brutal treatment inflicted upon Jesus that left him so maimed and mangled such that he was almost beyond recognition. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. These graphic words of wounded, bruised, chastisement are all very strong terms that have been inflicted by punishment. Stripes describes the raw wounds, the deep gashes in the skin being laid open from the strokes of a whip. These words from Isaiah's prophecy describe only the visible wounds inflicted upon this man. He is brought as a lamb unto the slaughter. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He hath poured out his soul unto death. And lastly, he bore the Son of Mary. Who other than Jesus could Isaiah be speaking about in his prophecy? Clearly, there can be no other. And to come to an understanding of the part of Isaiah's prophecy that says, when shalt thou make his soul an offering for sin, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23 and in verses 44 through 46 gives us this. And when it was about the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. This veil, this curtain within the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, was there to separate man from the Holy of Holies, which was the room in the temple where God visited. In this room, only once a year, the high priest was allowed to enter for the sole purpose of making a blood offering to God to cover all the sins of all the people of Israel for the entire past year. This blood offering had to be performed every year, as the blood offering provided only temporary atonement for the sins. It was not a permanent solution. In addition, it required a high priest representing the people of Israel acting as a kind of agent or an ambassador for them to present this sin offering to God. You see, the common people had no direct access to God. But upon the instant of Jesus' death upon the cross, this curtain, this veil was rent in the midst. It was torn in two from top to bottom. And with this, God was no longer separated from man. At that very moment of Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus provided reconciliation directly between God and humankind through his atoning self-sacrifice, his very own flesh and blood. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. There would be forevermore no need for animal blood sacrifices offered to God by a mortal high priest inside a man-made temple. The book of Hebrews in chapter 8 and verse 7 reveals this: for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Further along in verse 24, it reads, for Christ is not entered until the holy place is made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but until heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And then finally in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that took for him shall he appear the second time without sin until salvation. Truly, there is no other way to salvation but through Jesus Christ. Jesus became our high priest, to whom we have direct access through the Holy Spirit in all times and in all places, to whom Jesus made a final blood sacrifice, giving of his own blood to cover our sins once and for all. There is no more curtain. There is no more barrier. Nothing that separates us from God. Regarding this, Paul says in Romans, in chapter 8, verses 30 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's a poem I ran across. I think it was derived from a hymn, or perhaps the other way around. Regardless, the words are such that we might adopt as our very own. It reads like this: beneath the cross of Jesus, I dare to take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontime heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eyes at times can see the dying form of the one who suffered there for me. And from my stricken heart with tears, two wonders I confess. the wonder of redeeming love, and my unworthiness. This concludes the spoken portion of tonight's remembrance of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus, we'll gather here again in what the first century Jews counted as the passing of 3 days. Because, just as back then, God has more to reveal. But right now, I invite you to remain seated for as long as you desire and to sit and reflect upon what Jesus did for you personally and what he did for all mankind upon that cross on Calvary. And when your personal reflections are completed, please exit individually and quietly, using only the front entrance of the sanctuary.